Welcome to Tabletop. My name is Nick, and I think that fudging dice rolls is totally okay.
Hey, it's me, Franco, and rolling for initiative sucks.
I'm Daniel, and I think you should modify your first level characters as much as you want.
And I'm Shade, and if your TTRPG hasn't evolved into a LARP, you've done it wrong.
And we all host Tabletopped, a TTRPG podcast about all things games and storytelling.
And sometimes we have game designers, professional researchers, and even the occasional owlbear.
If this interests you, listen to Tabletop every Monday wherever you get your podcasts. Tabletop is a proud member of the Helios Network.
On this episode of Negative Modifier, we'll be playing the game Delta Green. Delta Green is a mature tabletop RPG that tackles various dark and unsettling themes and topics that some listeners may find traumatizing, harmful, or generally uncomfortable. Listener discretion is advised. Jumping back over to Agent Sanguine and Deputy Filigree as you've been navigating the party, it's been rough. Like, despite the fact that Deputy Filigree is probably in his like late 20s, you both stick out like a sore thumb. Like, everyone's a little bit wary of you, but you eventually find a couple willing to talk to you. They are very drunk and probably high, so they're kind of hard to keep on topic, but they kind of have led you to a slightly quieter part of the party to talk. Who are you looking for again?
We're looking for Chad.
Oh, yeah, the Bergman. Right, right. This is his party, you know?
Yeah, we're aware. Just, we're trying to find him. You know where he's at?
Kind of, like, smirks and starts laughing a little bit. The woman kind of chimes in at this point. Oh, he's busy right now. Freak's got him.
Who?
Oh, I don't know her name. She's been on the fucking art students. I think I got a class with her. Real head in the clouds type of girl. She punched out some chick earlier. Broke her nose and was laughing about it. Her and another girl took Chad to some one of the dorm rooms further back. That was a while ago, though, I think.
I look over at Sanguine and I go, I think we found what we're looking for.
Yeah. All right. If they're in one of the dorm rooms over in the back, that means they're on the same floor. I don't think we're going to be able to make this shit happen as easily as I was hoping it would be. Do you know? Wait, did you go to this college by chance? Do you know this college at all real well?
That is a question for Charlie. Does Filigree know this college fairly well?
I mean, you would know the college well enough as a deputy in a town with a college. Like, it's
okay.
You've probably crossed paths at some point.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not super familiar with this place, but I know it enough, you know, being involved in law enforcement.
Kind of a Hail Mary, but I was hoping that, like, I don't know if you've ever been through these dorms or whatever the heck have you. The easiest way to stop a party, or at least kind of get these guys trickling out, I think maybe is to just turn off the power. I was hoping maybe I could just grab a drink and oops, I just spilled water onto the breaker box and yoink, we got a dead floor. You think that'll help disperse?
It's worth a shot. I don't know. I would say start maybe in the basement, try to look for a breaker or something if that's the route you want to go.
What's your criminology, Deputy Filigree?
My criminology is at 10.
You want to roll it? I'll give you a plus 20 on it.
All right. I will roll that. With a plus 20, you say?
Yeah.
73 out of a 10 plus 20 modifier failure.
There's something in the back of your brain that you know would work for this, and you know it because it's kind of law enforcement adjacent, but not quite. All right, what's your criminology, Agent Sanguine?
Pretty low, but I have a really good forensics.
Nah, it's not going to help you in this case.
10% on criminology.
I mean, if you want to roll it too, I'm not going to give you the bonus because you're not a cop, but
5% success. I am a little sketchy.
Fire alarm.
Oh, huh. Good one.
I realized something. The old tried and true. How far is the closest fire alarm to me?
There's probably one within sight of you.
Cool. I pull it.
Yeah. So the couple you were talking to see this happen and they're like, hey, man, that's not. And then suddenly just the sirens erupt in loud fire alarms and kind of clear the building, flashing lights. Some of the kind of lights go off to make it more obvious where certain exits are. Emergency lighting kicks on. Like, the music's loud, but the alarms are louder. And a bunch of people start being like, what the fuck? And stuff. But then you hear kind of, it takes a couple minutes, but slowly people start moving and acknowledging the fact the fire alarm is going off. It's slow, definitely, because no one sees the fire, but also, hey, the fire alarm's going off. So, yeah, what do you do at this point?
I start looking, and then I'm like, wait a minute, I don't even know what Chad looks like. And then I turn back to Sanguine, but now?
Chad's the one that's in the room fucking. We check the dorms.
All right. I'm assuming we're still on the fifth floor right now, right? We haven't moved down floors. Okay. So as people are just kind of hurtling out, I'm going to start just checking door by door.
Yeah.
I've got the other side of the hall. We're making on one end to the other. They did say it was on the other end, right? So we can kind of narrow down the thing. All right.
I mean, also lots of dorms typically have people's names on the doors.
Oh, that works then.
Yeah. So give me a search. See how fast you do this.
That is a 43% success.
And a 46 out of 60 success.
All right, so how are you doing this? Like, is this like guns out, walking the hallway? Are you still trying to kind of be incognito? There's still the occasional straggler. Occasionally a dorm room opens and someone in partial dress or in one or two cases, complete undress, kind of stumbles out and makes their way towards the nearest exit. Like, how are you going about this?
I'm just quickly trying to check rooms. So my gun is still holstered. I don't have anything like out and about right now because I got told to kind of keep it low key and all that. So yeah, I'm just kind of taking advantage of the busy situation and like looking through as many rooms as possible, checking the signs on or, you know, names on the doors and whatnot. So.
All right.
I'm doing a sweep. I'm helping out kind of students evacuate or just get out pretty easily. Anyone who looks like they're about to not have a fun time outdoors and partial to no dress, I'm going to tell all the people like, hey, someone get them a blanket. They're not going to have fun out there.
All right. Takes a few minutes, but kind of you eventually find yourself down towards the other end of where you were at Chad's door. And give me an alertness.
That is a 39% failure on my end.
24 out of 40 success.
I mean, it makes sense. You couldn't hear anything Sanguine. There are a lot of sounds going on. Deputy Filigree, you hear ever so faintly muffled protests or kind of like muffled screaming.
Upon hearing that and identifying that, I unholster my gun. I look over at Sanguine and go, this sounds like it's a struggle in here. You better get ready now. And I get ready to basically kick down the door.
You want to hold your horses because we are going to wait a couple seconds, a couple minutes until this is primarily clear. I'm not saying that we should wait until the entire floor is covered. But we do not want to pull out a gun in the middle of everyone calmly and safely evacuating. Less we want is everyone who's already down those stairs getting trampled to death.
I look at Sanguine and I go, there is somebody struggling in there. And if someone potentially is getting fucking murdered, I'm not going to let that happen. So you better pull your gun out in the next 5 seconds because I'm kicking down this door.
We're going to do it swiftly and not make any kind of attention. I'll go with you, but make it subtle. I'm going to stand in front of the door and I'm going to open it by taking a step forward. You're going to slip in real quick and I will follow you afterward. Yes?
Fine. Let's go. Let's go.
I kind of do like a little bit of a pseudo sneaky move where I like stand in front of the door and I grab the doorknob from behind me and I take a step forward, allowing enough space for Filigree to get in. And once he's in, I kind of calmly follow him and I shut the door after me.
Yeah, was the door locked or unlocked, by the way?
It was unlocked. So let's see what happens first for you successfully close that door. So you open the door, kind of like you throw it open, stealthy about it. What do you do?
It's a little stealthy. So the way that I was explaining it or the way I would like to do it is that I would imagine that Filigree has positioned himself just kind of close to the opening, ready to kind of pop in. And as I'm standing in front of the doorknob, I kind of twist it with my hands behind my back and I take a step forward. So that way I'm still kind of facing outward and whatnot, trying not to draw attention from any of the kids that are like ambling out.
Sure.
Cause I don't want to pull out a gun and like go inside a dorm room and everyone being like, what the fuck just happened? And like cause a scenario or anything else like that.
Sure.
But once I know that Filigree has cleared the opening, I'm just going to kind of turn around casually and kind of close the door behind me as I follow.
All right. So as the door opens up, the scene inside is straight out of a nightmare. Give me a sand check, both of you.
All right. Sand check, you say. 74 out of 60 failure.
84% failure.
Neither of you were adapted to violence, correct?
No.
No, I am not.
1d4 points of sand damage from violence.
I rolled 4 points of sand damage.
I rolled 1, so 1 point of sand damage, and I'll go ahead and eat that.
All right. As the door opens, it reveals a truly upsetting and troubling scene. In the right corner of the room opposite the door, you see a young man, maybe 22 tops, with what looks to be some type of like award of some kind, stabbed 2/3 of the way into his chest. He is coughed up blood. He's just bloody and battered. Tied down to the bed with two cackling, almost ghoulish in their glee women is a younger 20-somethings man. The sock shoved in his mouth, screaming. In the hands of one of the women, a woman who kind of has a bit of an artsy vibe to her, is that slug thing you saw back at Skip Mills. It's wiggling about, and she has a hand on the sock, and she's slowly bringing this four-pincer-mouthed thing down towards this young man's face as he just kind of screams in terror. What do you do?
I unload my clip on the girl on top.
All right, let's see a firearms.
Let's hope I don't hit anybody I don't want to. And that is a 4% success with the firearms.
All right, roll damage, Shed. All right, so the shot kind of rips through her shoulder. Blood is splattered against the wall. She kind of like cackles and moans as this happens and whirls to look at both of you in the doorway. Her compatriot also does the same. The man screams even louder now, despite the sock in his mouth. Deputy Filigree, what do you do?
I'm taking a fucking shot as well.
All right, which one are you shooting at?
I'm going to go ahead and shoot at... I'm just going to go with the same target since we... Yeah. Just to kind of get it down faster.
She was the more threatening one. See that firearms.
43 out of 40 failure. Fuck.
Shot goes wide. It's a tense situation. All right, so... The woman not holding the thing kind of runs across the room at... Which one of you was in front?
Technically, I would have been in front.
All right.
Because I went in first and then Sangun went in behind me afterwards.
Yeah, she runs across the room and kind of tackles into you. Oh, damn.
Oh, fuck. That's a, oh, damn. Right?
So the good news is... It's only an unarmed combat, so she only does 2 points of damage, but she kind of like knocks you like hard kind of into the corner room, and she's on you at this point. Like she is grappled on you, holding you down as best she can. She's not a big woman. She's small. She doesn't have like the upper hand and strength on you probably, but like she's gotten the surprise on you in the drop, and she's trying her hardest to hold you down in some way, shape, or form.
Question. I do have reinforced Kevlar vest on. And that, I guess, has a resistance of 4. Does that negate the 2 points of damage?
Indeed it does.
Perfect. All right, so I take no damage on that then.
Yeah, but you're still knocked down.
Yeah.
I love that you were walking around a college party with a fucking Kevlar vest.
Well, I did say I put on a heavy-looking jacket to try to cover it up. Just because, like, I'm not going anywhere without my fucking vest.
Oh, and if you hadn't done that, it would have been a problem.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm knocked down, and yep. Then, yeah.
So the one holding the snake slug-like thing kind of grabs the sock in the man's mouth and pulls it out. And in a kind of like almost loving gesture, shoves the head of this slug thing into this man's mouth. And he screams. You kind of slowly see it start to slither down into his throat. Agent Sangwin. What do you do? You have your partner in crime tackled on the ground. You've just seen... Actually, no. Both of you give me a sand check for unnatural now that you've kind of seen whatever the hell just happened.
You really, really want me to go past this other breaking point, don't you? God damn it.
Question. Since I got knocked down, did I technically see this happen?
I'll give you a plus 10 to your sand check. You raise a fair enough point.
Okay, thank you. Plus 10? Okay. Hey! I rolled a 1 critical out of 56 plus 10 sand check.
I do not get how that works, but that means, kind of, for our helm rules, you recover 1 point of sand damage because... Okay, actually, no. This makes sense. This is some Invasion of the Body Snatchers bullshit. Like, of course there's fucking G-men running around, breaking in doors, murdering people covertly. This is some alien facehugger bullshit. This suddenly all makes a little bit of sense for you. It's horrible. But like, okay, yeah. That's what's going on. Aliens are real. Maybe ghosts are too. Oh, I kind of get what's going on.
I'll take it. I'll take it. And I recover 1 point of sand, you said?
Yep.
Excellent.
Yeah, 82 out of 50% sand check. So,
all right, 1d4.
So I got a 1 on that 1d4. I will channel it. Actually, no, because after getting adapted to helplessness, I ate so much bullshit with my willpower. I'm not about to fucking eat any kind of willpower at the moment. I'm just going to go ahead and lose just that 1 point.
All right.
But I am teetering. I'm teetering on my breaking point. Question. How distracted is she in kind of shoving this snake or whatever the heck into this boy's mouth? Like, can I walk up to her and just kind of confirm a shot by being like right above her or holding the gun over her head?
You're at range. You have a plus 20 now that you're not kind of busting into a room if you want to take a shot at her.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and take another shot at her.
All right.
Yep. Bah, bah, bah. 59 modified out of 20.
All right. Shot goes wide. Deputy Filigree, what are you doing at this point? This woman's trying to like hold you down. She's like, maybe almost trying to claw at your face or something.
When I was knocked down, did I lose my gun or I still have my gun on me?
You still have it.
Okay. I'd like to basically fire at point blank range.
All right. Let's see if you can do that.
I know I'm knocked down, but do I get a bonus for it being point blank range?
No, because of the knockdown.
Okay, fair. 75 out of 40 failure.
All right. So, yeah, you can't quite kind of get your hand into the right position, which is really unfortunate because she just then kind of like leans real close down to you and from her mouth rockets this snake-like thing that just rams into kind of your face, like right above one of your eyes.
Oh.
And you feel the impact for 2 points of damage, ignoring your body armor because she was getting around it. And it's in kind of like it rips back, tearing some of the skin off of it. Give me a sand check.
All right. 69 out of 57 failure.
Just 1 point of sand damage off that. It's kind of the heat of the moment. It's hard to focus.
Okay.
Now for the other one, who's now freed up to do something. She is going to kind of charge across the room at Agent Sanguine for... rams you against it without doing any damage. She doesn't hit you hard enough, but she kind of like, as she gets close, she goes, "Our God is pleased. All he ever asked was for us to go forth and multiply, and that's all we've ever done." Agent Sanguine, you're up.
She's like right there.
Yeah.
I am not equipped for this situation.
And you're going to try and point blank shoot her.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try for a point blank shot. I'm going to try to maneuver my gun just to where she's at. And I respond, "Sorry, hun, separation to church and state. You know how it is with public schools." And I fire.
All right. Let's see the firearms.
That is a 58% modified failure out of 20%.
All right.
So that's an additional 20%, correct?
Yep.
For point blanks. Yep.
Yeah. So again, like you're struggling. She is kind of on you, kind of pressing you against the wall. It makes a certain amount of sense. Deputy Filigree, you've just been attacked by some type of mouth tentacle thing. You're bleeding from one of your eyes. This woman is kind of cackling some around the mouth tentacle.
Okay. So her head moved closer to mine now, correct? Because of this? Yeah. Can I try to aim at her head and take a shot now that like I can, her head is so close to mine that I can basically take better, or I guess aim better because I know it's there kind of thing.
Yeah. I'll give you the plus 20 this time is what you're asking for. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you want to do a called shot, which is trying to headshot her specifically?
Yeah. Basically, I want to try to headshot her.
All right. So that will negate the bonus you'd have from the point blank, but yeah, I'll still give it to you. You're like, you're right up on it. This is basically a melee attack at that point.
Okay. So do I get the, do I just leave it at plus 20?
Yeah.
Okay. 36 out of a modified 40 plus 20 success.
All right. So how do you do this?
As I'm kind of just like moving around back and forth, I'm able to like slip my arms from like under and put them basically between my chest and hers. And I put the gun up right under her chin, essentially, and I pull the trigger.
That's an excellent choice for reasons that will make sense in a minute. But yeah, so back of her head just explodes as her friend just starts to kind of like cackle at this. The violence is just all they're into right now. Like, she should probably feel bad her friend is dead. She probably screams something like sacrifice or something like that. But yeah, so she is on Agent Sanguine, and kind of she's in kind of close proximity to him. So, and she is going to, she kind of makes try to like move her face at your mouth, but doesn't quite manage to connect it. Agent Sanguine, what do you do?
Well, I realize now that obviously I am just useless with firearms. This is not my tool. I am a doctor. A doctor is good with his hands, also good with his head. I'm going to headbutt her if she's all right, still close enough, because my unarmed combat is much stronger than my firearms. Is there a point blank headbutt or is it still just a headbutt?
There is not, unfortunately.
Okay. 5% success on the headbutt.
All right.
And unarmed was
1d4 minus one.
I just headbutt her. It does nothing.
You hear the impact happen and she just kind of moans a little bit at it. Like she enjoyed that in some weird fucked up way. If you feel agree, what do you do?
When she got headbutted, did she get knocked back enough, or she's not really still not really?
She's okay. In an ecstasy state right now. She is not responding to outside stimuli correctly.
Okay.
What was it, such a good headbutt that she's distracted?
I mean, we'll see.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm assuming I still have the body of whatever I just blew off.
Yeah.
On me. So I'm going to try to get out from under the body that I just beheaded with a gunshot. And I'm guessing that this other thing is right on top of Sanguine, or are they like struggling standing? I'm trying to just remember picturing this.
They're struggling standing. I guess like if you're trying to get up to your feet, that will chew up your entire turn.
Okay. Well, I definitely want to try to get up, because I don't think up taking a shot while they're struggling is going to be a good idea, because I don't want to accidentally hit Sanguine.
I mean, like she's not fighting you. Like she's dead. Like she is. It's just kind of wait.
And also, just heads up, I was ready to get shot at by my coworker. So, like, you know, I'm okay with that.
Okay. So, if I call out a shot, that eats up a turn, from what I recall, correct? Like, if I want to try to, like, aim for her.
No, it just makes the shot harder. Like, this will negate the 20% bonus.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, if that's the case, then I want to try to just, I guess, phase her. So, I'm going to try to shoot center mass just to try to get hit something, like to like basically stun her, if you will. So yeah, I'm just gonna try to take a shot and
okay, so from a pure mechanical standpoint, unless you're trying to like shoot something out of someone's hand or headshot them or do something really specific, There's not a lot of reason to call a shot. I guess if you're just trying to shoot her in general, like unless you're trying to skull tap her, that's not worth the negative you'll take.
Yeah, I'm not trying to skull tap her. I'm just trying to take a shot, more or less, to kind of like...
You're at close enough range. Yeah, roll firearms at plus 20.
Okay. 4 out of a modified 40 plus 20 success.
That hits.
I rolled a 6.
All right, so that bullet kind of rips through her center mass, just kind of explodes her rib cage to the wall opposite of where you were lying on the ground, and she kind of, for a split second, just kind of pauses midair, then falls to the ground as a pile of gore.
So after I've taken the shot, I'm like breathing like heavily, because I'm obviously covered in blood, because I had this thing blow up over me.
Oh no, yeah. the cast off spray that's now covering kind of like Sanguine's torso is significant. Like, it looks like he just caught a water balloon of red paint at minimum and chunks.
Gotcha. So look over and my first thing is, are you okay? Did I hit you?
No. Thank you. That I was not doing well with that one. Well, this is you're not gonna like this. And I'm just gonna go inspect the dude who has the trophy that's like two-thirds stabbed in his abdomen.
If he's very dead, very obviously dead.
Oh, he's like super dead. Okay.
Yeah.
After confirming that he's dead, I'm just gonna cock my gun and I'm going to mercy kill the one that's tied down.
All right. Before you do that, though, you do notice four kind of puncture marks into kind of just the general chest area of the one with the trophy stabbed into it.
Oh, damn it. Okay. If there is puncture marks at that point in time, I'm just going to hold up my gun and I'm going to take a couple shots into the abdomen area, because that's where they typically bust out of, right?
I mean, sort of, yeah. You're just going to shoot into it?
Yes, I'm going to shoot into it.
All right, so your bullets kind of go through and hit the wall and kind of make a big mess, but like, instead of blood, you get a mix of blood and this orange fluid you've seen so many times before.
Villagree, just so that you understand, I'm not affected by this. This is, I guess what you could say, family planning. And sorry, kid, I don't think I brought my med kit with me. You all right? And I'm talking to the kid who's tied down.
He is unconscious right now.
All right. Well, and I kind of cock my gun and plan to do the same to him.
Do you do anything that Deputy Filigree?
I'm just kind of taking all this in right now, considering I just literally shot to whatever the hell this is. And I'm just like staring at Sanguine and watching them essentially do what they're doing at the moment, like in a little bit of horror.
Did you pull the trigger, Sanguine?
Damn it. I want to. In Sanguine's head, I want to, just because it's like we're too late. I saw that thing go down that kid's throat, and all I can think about is Snail just dealing with the same thing and how I couldn't save him. I don't really have like my med kit with me, and I don't really think I could do very much help for him. Just because what's going to end up happening is that this thing is going to proliferate and continue going on. Because all I can think about is like Star also telling me like, hey, keep an eye on Snail and make sure that like he's not acting crazy or whatever the heck. And thinking about like, I could have just prevented him from going down that path. Because even he was like, please just make sure I don't like end up like skip. But I also have a Hippocratic oath where I had to do what I had to do, and I checked to make sure that the other kid was like, what's it called, dead before shooting into him and kind of seeing if I could do preventative measures on that. But like, this kid's alive and that just happened. I have a duty to save him, and I'm just kind of hand on the trigger trying to pull, I think, but...
I mean, we could take a page from Dylan's book and roll a POW to see if you can kind of muster up the energy to do it.
That sounds like a great, great concept, except I just took a big fat hit to helplessness, and I did just eat a good chunk of my POW. But I feel like that is probably the correct move, and I'm going to leave it up to fate. I'm going to roll a POW to see whether or not I have the strength to fulfill my role as a doctor or succumb and just get something out of the way so I don't have to face the fear of failure. Unfortunately, that is a 56 out of 40% failure, and I pull the trigger.
Well, do give me a sand check.
That is a 55% fumble.
Oh,
makes sense.
45 out of 56 success.
All right, Deputy Filigree, you've seen some stuff, like maybe this is what had to be done kind of thing. Also, it's been a weird fucking day for you. Agent Sanguine, 8 points of sand damage from violence.
Oh.
As you have just executed a patient very much in need by all measures. Maybe it's what had to happen. Maybe it didn't. Maybe you could have saved Snail. Maybe you could have saved this kid. But what is this job doing to you that you just chose to solve a, by all measures, a medical problem this way?
That attunes me fully to violence.
Yeah, it does.
Hell yeah. You ready to lose some more stats, buddy?
Agent Star, you are standing within arm's reach of a chainsaw in a high school locker room with a dead monkey snake thing lying kind of bleeding orange on the floor. A man that you went to, quote, look for as part of all this, who's been reported missing. And two National Guardsmen are trying to enter the room after hearing gunshots. What are you trying to do in this moment? They've gotten the door open. They can kind of see this scene that you find yourself in. What's the play here?
So it's two National Guardsmen. Do I recognize any of them?
One of them is the one you talked to earlier that kind of begrudgingly was like, okay, fine. Go do what you have to.
So the door is open.
Yep.
In relation to where the body of this thing is it visible to them? Is it like off to the side? What's the situation?
I mean, it's visible. Like you didn't like throw it in a locker or something or shoved under like a bathroom stall or something. At the same time, I'm not sure when you bust into a room after hearing gunshots, you immediately look for the monkey creature thing. But at the same time, it's only probably a matter of time until they notice it, if they haven't already.
Star looks to the old man and says, we need to get him out of here, and like helps the guy up.
All right. So is the goal to kind of like distract him from this? Like is the.
Yeah.
He's trying to pull all the attention you can kind of situation.
Yes.
All right. But how are you doing this? Just trying to kind of.
I think like I'm going to grab the guy up. Not like, I mean, it's rough because I'm moving quickly, but like I want to be moving fast. Like I'm on a mission to do mm-hmm. something. Yeah.
I get that. Give me an athletics or a stealth to kind of see how well you misdirect with this.
A 65 out of an 87 athletic success.
Yeah, so you're doing a pretty good job of kind of pulling focus. You're moving around the room like, yeah, you kind of lift the guy up, you kind of shove him at him a little bit. Like it's very much a show of kind of, yeah, it's distracting. It's hard to kind of focus on stuff in the room. That deals with one of the guards who kind of helps the guy limp out into the hallway, leaving the one you dealt with upstairs initially when you came in, kind of looking at you.
He's looking at me. Have I noticed that he's noticed the body, or has he noticed the body?
I'm saying like maybe like 10 seconds have passed and you've been pretty damn distracting this entire time.
All right, walk with me. Let's talk. I say like going to go out of the room.
Yeah, give me a unarmed combat on that.
31 out of 83 success.
Hey, you successfully kind of steer him around kind of as quickly as you can away from looking into the room and out into the hallway. Kind of like, you know what I'm talking about? That kind of like forceful, you're coming with me. All right, so you're out in the dark hallway. You see kind of the other guard's been helping the guy you found down there off in the distance. What do you do?
How long was the incubation period if someone was infected with Snail? Like, how long did it take for him to spiral?
Not long.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. All right, the situation's stabilizing. I need to talk to him. I need you guys to go secure the perimeter.
Secure the perimeter from what?
Look, I'll explain more once the situation's resolved.
Maybe you'd better start explaining some things now. This is getting a little bit ridiculous. We heard fucking gunshots.
Listen, I will give you an explanation, but I need to move right now, and I need to talk to him. I need to see what he's seen.
Who, the man you found?
Yes.
Can you give me anything more to go on that?
I can tell you that if you cooperate, I can get people back in here getting warm as soon as possible.
Can we turn back on the generators?
In about 5 minutes, yeah.
I'm going to hold you to that. Kind of gestures with his head. Follow him. He's taking him to medical, probably. That'd be the smart place to go. I'm going to go tell the team they can fire up generators again.
Right. What was your name again? I'm not talking to the National Guard, but the man. All right, William, you're with me.
Kind of. He's looking a little frail right now. Like the guard's definitely having to kind of carry him a little bit as he's moving him. I just want to see my family, sir.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll get you there, but we got to get you checked out first. Come on.
The guardsman looks at you confused. Do you need my help or can I go?
No, you go with him. I go with your boss. I got this guy.
All right. And kind of follows the other guy out. William looks at you. So we go into medical now or?
Yeah. But first, come with me. We're going to go back into the bathroom.
Okay.
I mean, this guy has already seen the thing. So Star's going to take his jacket off and roll the dead thing in his jacket.
Probably a little big for that. But you can try and cover it some at least.
Yeah, I want it to be less visible. And this is a locker room, right?
Yeah.
I am going to go find, go look for, see if there's a locker that just happens to be open in here.
I mean, yeah, probably most of the lockers are unlocked. Yeah, and what are you trying to find?
I want to find one that's like unlocked that someone might have left like the padlock on still.
Okay, give me a search.
24 out of 34% success.
Yeah, after a few lockers, you find one that's got a kind of open padlock on it.
Great. I'm going to stuff the jacket with the thing in it, and then I'm going to close it and lock it.
Yeah, so this entire time, Williams is kind of watching you, kind of like a little bit confused. Give me a human int.
My famously high score. 26% out of a 16 fail.
There's something else going on, but you can't quite put your finger on it.
All right. Come with me, and I will grab the chainsaw. I'm going to lead him out of the school, but I want to go out and loop around to the vehicle.
Yeah, so as you get back out in the hallway, you hear the sound of some National Guardsmen kind of coming your way. It's the deeper voice one from earlier and kind of two other people with him. They're kind of talking about, they're like, yeah, they're just kind of talking, so they're coming in your general direction.
Can I just like turn and go up a level on the school or down another hall?
Yeah. Just kind of just trying to get away from them?
Yeah.
Yeah, give me the athletics.
43 out of an 87% success.
So are you dragging kind of this guy along with you? Like, what are you doing with
him exactly? I'm like pushing him in front of me. I know the last one we ran into, like, can attack. So like I'm pushing him ahead of me. So if he turns to fight me, I'll be aware of it.
Sure. Yeah. So as you're kind of going up some stairs to get away from the voices, he trips and falls and kind of like rolls down the stairs away from you.
Can I grab him as he's rolling down?
Yeah, give me a dexterity to see if you can grab him.
8% out of a 70% success.
Yeah, you kind of catch him mid-fall and stop him from falling all the way down. He kind of like looks at you. He's like, I'm sorry about that. He's not feeling all that good all of a sudden. Kind of like gets to his feet again. Can we just go to medical or something so I can see my family?
Yeah, we're on our way. Do I see like anything moving around like on his neck or anything like that? No?
No.
I want to still lead him out of the building.
As you're kind of walking him through, give me an alertness.
74 out of an 85% success.
You hear distantly, probably from people walking around the building, just trying to do security or something, that a couple people are asking about why, hey, that guy in the locker room, why isn't he showing up at medical yet? Thought the FEMA guy had him. Like, people are actively talking about kind of this guy not being there.
Great. I mean, we'll keep moving. I'm going to walk around, like, when we can, if we're walking past people, like, we're meant to be where we are.
All right, so you kind of pass a couple stragglers, normal civilians, but at the exit you were headed towards, you see two National Guardsmen kind of, and they definitely seem to be searching the crowd headed towards them.
There's like a crowd coming in?
Not much, like we'll call it like 5-6 people tops type of thing. Like, it's the remnants of who's left in the building.
Can I head to like the cafeteria and go out one of the like loading areas that they'd have? For like bringing in food and whatnot.
Yeah, give me an athletics to kind of see how well you can, I guess, like how, I guess, like aggressive are you being about this? Like, is it kind of like fast walking or is it?
Yeah,
like,
we gotta move. Yeah.
Yeah. See the athletics.
47 out of 87% success.
Yeah, so you're definitely kind of pushing this guy around. And I think people are starting to notice a little bit, like this is not normal. Like no one's making a fuss about it, but like it's, you're moving enough that you're kind of like, it seems strange to the average passerby at this point, but it can be a navigate to see if you can kind of find your way to the cafeteria.
84% out of a 54% fail.
You're not used to the school. It's kind of strange. And you accidentally kind of round a corner and there are one National Guardsman kind of with a flashlight and a walkie talkie who sees you and goes, hang on, I think I found him.
Hey, I need a vehicle. We got to take him back to base. He's worse than I thought.
The guardsman kind of slowly starts to approach you. I mean, like, we got medical set up here. We can just take him there for that. Like, nothing we can do, quote, back at base we can't do here. Like, I think more of the team's honestly here at this point than there.
Listen, you need to stay back. No, but I'm already exposed. You don't want to get exposed.
The guy looks at you kind of confused. Exposed to what?
What he's got.
Looks at you a tad confused. Is he sick or something?
Yeah. I mean, look at him. I kind of show the guy. I mean, he doesn't look good, right?
I mean, he looks fine enough. Like, maybe just kind of tired and a little bit kind of out of it.
He's sick. So I'm taking him back to base.
All right. So the guard is about 20 feet from you at this point. He's been kind of slowly approaching you this entire time. And he's like, I mean, like, they're looking for you. Like, they thought you got lost or something. Again, like.
Yeah.
This guy's wife's asking about him. Let's take him to medical. It'll be fine.
Not your call to make.
All right, so you kind of see him go to the walkie-talkie and press the button on. He goes, yeah, something weird's happening here. He's kind of not wanting to bring him to medical, I guess, or something. Says he's got something. Do we have...
I just start walking past him.
All right. Yeah, so kind of as the distance as you pass, you kind of hear him talking to the walkie-talkie. He's like, says the guy is sick or something. Do we have like a, I don't know, like a contagion protocol or the gear for that in place here? Like, he's taking you seriously, but like also kind of just confused as to what you just said. And like, they're here for the bad storm stuff, not for kind of some disease outbreak.
Yeah.
All right. Give me one last navigate.
53 out of 54% success.
Yeah. You eventually make your way to the cafeteria. You've definitely heard a couple more walkie-talkies talking about you, though, as you've been kind of making your way past. No one else tried to stop you, though.
Great. I'd like to get out and get back to the Jeep and drive away.
All right. So the Jeep is by the main entrance. This is not the main entrance. This is probably the exact opposite end of the building.
I actually thought about that. I figure with them turning on the generators and everything and looking for me, that the main entrance might not be as heavily guarded. So that's why I want to...
Possibly.
Yeah, I want to head over there.
Yeah, not a bad idea. So you're going to go out to the loading dock?
Yeah.
I'm assuming you're kind of still moving deliberately, but not like erratically?
Yes.
Yeah. You manage to lead this guy out. He's kind of increasingly baffled. He does not like being out in the cold, partially because it's just cold, but also like, yeah, he kind of seems a little bit more off put by it than maybe some people might be. But also it's cold, like it's legitimately cold. So who knows? And give me a luck as you kind of start leading him around the building.
32% success.
Yeah, as you kind of come around, you have to wait for a couple seconds, but you see kind of the last of the National Guardsmen either go inside or go towards the generators, the loud banging sound. You hear the generators kick back on, and slowly but surely the people that have been kind of funneled out into the parking lot start making their way back into school.
Great. I am going to open the back door for him to get into the back of the Jeep.
All right. I'm assuming you wait to let the crowd kind of dissipate some and
yeah,
make sure you're in the clear. Yeah. Yeah, so couple minutes pass and eventually everyone's back inside because that's where the warmth is, and yeah, he's gonna have to get him into the Jeep.
How is he looking?
I guess like no better, no worse. He's still kind of looking a little bit out of it, but not too out of it, I guess. Like maybe a little bit glassy eyed, but also that could just be exhaustion. Not a doctor.
Okay. If he's out of it, then since he's in the back seat, what's in this Jeep? I remember it was a work woman's Jeep. So does she got like any like bungee cords or anything in here?
No, this is just like a Jeep. It's a normal kind of car for daily commuting.
Any jumper cables in the back?
Jumper cables, yeah.
Great. I'm going to tie his hands up and like tie them to, I guess, the back of the passenger headrest or something.
All right.
Something so that he'd have a hard time lunging at me while driving. And then I will go ahead and drive.
Give me a survival to see how effective your knots are.
96 out of a 56% failure.
Maybe they come loose, maybe they don't. But I guess where are you going with your driving at this point?
I just want to get him far enough away from here. And then, how far was the last house we were at?
Different part of town. It's closer to the college, I guess. Like, it's not a huge town, but at the same time, like, it's not like 5 minutes away type of situation.
I want to find a derelict house to get into then.
That is probably pretty easy to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
A derelict or an abandoned house?
Abandoned.
Yeah, that's probably very easy to do. All right. So, yeah, probably just looking for a place without lights on or without indications of power is a pretty good way to figure out who is and is not home.
I'm going to park the Jeep at in a different driveway and then walk over with the guy.
Sure.
And I back the Jeep in.
All right. Yeah. We're kind of navigating him some. Give me a luck to see if the door's unlocked.
16% success.
Yeah. Maybe it got left unlocked. Maybe it was never locked. Who knows? Type of situation. But yeah, you find yourself in a cold, powerless house.
Great. I am going to go ahead and drag him over to something solid and make sure he's tied to it. I mean, I'm going to make sure he's pretty well tied, like his feet are tied together, his hands are tied to something, and I'm going to just sit there with him a decent way away and watch.
On behalf of all of us at Negative Modifier, thank you for listening, and we do hope you enjoyed this episode. If you would like to support the show, please consider rating or reviewing us on your platform of choice or supporting the show over on our Patreon. In addition to that, if you would like to chat about episodes or with the cast in general, please consider joining our Discord server. Links to all of this and more can be found below in the show notes.
Welcome to Tabletop. My name is Nick, and I think that fudging dice rolls is totally okay.
Hey, it's me, Franco, and rolling for initiative sucks.
I'm Daniel, and I think you should modify your first level characters as much as you want.
And I'm Shade, and if your TTRPG hasn't evolved into a LARP, you've done it wrong.
And we all host Tabletopped, a TTRPG podcast about all things games and storytelling.
And sometimes we have game designers, professional researchers, and even the occasional owlbear.
If this interests you, listen to Tabletop every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts. Tabletop is a proud member of the Helios Network.